Leo Routens, analyst for TSN, joins us. Leo, how you doing?
I'm great. How about you guys?
Oh, man, you're sure wishing you were a basketball player today.
I'm telling you what, I always go back to the line that Charles Barkley always said. He goes, I want to fire my mom. She gave birth to me too early. And never was that more appropriate than right now. I think even Charles wants to give her a good kick for that.
Leo, I guess let's start with the Toronto Raptors. Is that an upgrade? Do you feel, and I say that because Johnson's gone now with the team. Do you feel that's an upgrade?
Oh, well, you know what? Without a doubt that, you know, DeMar Carroll is in a great situation for the Raptors. I mean, he's a player that the biggest issue was having two-way players. You know, talking to Dwayne Casey, Masai Ujiri after the season, their whole approach has to be much better defensively. They realized that. They had to give players that, yes, you got to be able to contribute offensively. You have to be able to do things, but you got to be a two-way player and get it done at the defensive end. If the situation was right, Amir Johnson would still be a positive asset for the team, but they weren't in a position to keep him and pay the salary they'd have to pay him, so they had to move on. But when you look at a player like Damari Carroll, he really kind of fits the bill on what they need. You get a small forward that can literally guard, you know, three positions defensively. He's an improved shooter. He shot almost 40% from three, close to 50% from the field, so he's not a liability at the offensive end. Which was, for example, a James Johnson with the Raptors. He was supposed to be a lockdown guy last season, but he's a liability on offense. Now you got a player that can be a lockdown guy and at the same time be a contributor at the offensive end. And he plays the game the right way. You know, he moves the ball. He moves without the basketball. He's got a good head and his shoulder. So, that was a great start to free agency landing him yesterday.
Interesting, Leo. In that sense, do you consider Carroll a value contract at $15 million a year at 60 over 4, or just that's the market price for a guy of his ability right now?
Well, I'll put it this way. In today's environment, I mean, if that's market you're getting a guy that really, if you talk the entire league right now, he's considered one of the top perimeter defenders.
Okay.
And he was on a team that, you know, finished first in the East, and he was a valuable contributor. And up to the point of getting hurt in the playoffs, he was as good as anybody on that team. So, if not the best player on that team in the playoffs prior to getting hurt. So, he is a value guy that, you're not going to get if you want a player now, the way the market's going, the way everybody's talking about the TV contracts coming up and how the bar was set by certain players. You're not going to get around it. You're going to have to pay if you want to have these kind of guys on the team. So might as well go out and get them.
Leo Routens from TSN joins us. Leo, I want to get your thoughts on the Sacramento Kings. They've had a very interesting, I guess, week or so with the owner and the head coach and DeMarcus Cousins. Last night they trade Nick Stauskas. What are the Sacramento Kings trying to accomplish?
That's a great question. It seems like they're doing certain things and they react to what they do. When they fired Mike Malone back in early in the season, they had no plan. They had no idea what they were going to do. They ended up getting rid of a coach that really got them off to their best start in years. They kind of wallow around. Things go south. They hire George Karl. And then with George Karl, you're hiring a coach that he's got a history. I mean, yes, he's a great coach, but he's got a history of doing things his way. Not necessarily working smoothly with management, and all of a sudden he turns around, he ruffles some feathers, and everybody's surprised. So it's hard to figure out what they're doing. I really honestly don't know if they know what they're doing exactly. They made some moves, obviously, moving Skousas and Landry and Thompson, and they're trying to move a few picks and swap a few picks, et cetera, to try to create some space. But when you look at the players they're targeting, for example, the big rumor is, Rondo, trying to get Rondo. Well, guess what? If you bring in Rajon Rondo and, he's a player that he kind of burned his way out of Boston, didn't exactly thrive in Dallas, and now you have a situation where you're gonna bet all your marbles, he's going to help turn your franchise around. I don't know if that's a wise move. I really don't, just because he's got a relationship with Rudy Gay, supposedly. So when you look at some of these things that are happening with Sacramento, it's no wonder they are where they are, and they're probably going to stay where they are for a while.
Leo, staying in California, talking about the Lakers, they haven't done much in free agency. There was reports yesterday that Kobe Bryant's been in on a lot of those team meetings trying to lure free agents in. Now, I think we all know what kind of person Kobe is. We've seen a lot on and off the court. If you were running the Lakers, though, Leo, would you invite Kobe Bryant into these free agent meetings?
Yeah, well, first of all, here's my take on that. That, you know, you have all these meetings going on. Everybody, you know, a lot of people in the media come out and say, hey, you know, this happened, this happened, this happened. How do they know? You know, how do they know that? I don't know one management, I don't know anybody from management that immediately comes out of a meeting and announces everything that happened in that meeting. And when you think about it, that, you know, Kobe's your guy. And as long as he's there, he better be involved. And whether you like him or not, or you like what he says or not, he's got to be involved in that because players are going to play. And I don't think it's a situation where people aren't coming there because of Kobe or they don't like what he's saying. He's going to challenge some of these guys, and that's good. The problem is you're talking about coming to Los Angeles where it's going to take a while to right the ship there. And, you know, Kobe, in some ways, he's part of that problem because of his salary and the way he still wants to play. So it's not so much what he's saying or doing, but the fact that he still wants to play and he still thinks he's Kobe of old versus a Kobe that's got to realize I can't do the same things anymore. And I have to take a lesser role for us to be successful. So to me, a lot of players right now realize that you don't have to be in L.A., you don't have to be in New York to get the exposure, to get the publicity, to make the money. With social media, with television contracts the way they are, with the game being global, you can play anywhere you want. And the prime example is Greg Monroe going to Milwaukee Bucks and saying no to the Lakers, the Knicks, and anybody else. So when you look at a situation like that, you realize how the game has changed dramatically. And for the Lakers, it's going to be a tough uphill battle. It's just not going to be easy to sway guys to come there, especially, you know, the pressure that's in a place like L.A. and New York where you're expected to win. Everything's a disappointment when you don't do it. You know, for some of these guys, they go to Milwaukee, they go to some other places, and just it doesn't matter. You just play. You play, and you have a lot less pressure. You don't have throngs of media questioning your every move. So, you know, the playing field has certainly changed and leveled in a lot of ways.
LaMarcus Aldridge, lots of talk that maybe the Raptors will be involved in him. Leo, do you think they can fit him in the cap, and would that be a piece that would automatically make them a legit contender in the East?
Well, if they were able to pull it off, without a doubt. I mean, that would put them among the top in the East. I mean, think about this. They're already in the top four. They've been in the top four, and that would certainly elevate them, you know, easily in the top two, in my opinion. However, it's not a question of could they do it. If they can, if he says yes, they'll figure it out. Masai Ujiri's very clever. They got some great cap people. They'll get it done. And they position themselves to be able to do something like that. But if you look at it objectively from a distance, then what is LaMarcus Aldridge looking for? He's been in Portland, a good team, a great history in that organization. They've been competitive, but what have they not been able to do? Win. And in my opinion, he's looking for some place that he can go. If he's not going to stay in Portland, which, again, that could end up happening, but it doesn't look like it. But if he's not going to stay in Portland, I think he's going to go where he's got the best opportunity to win now. And in my opinion, that would be San Antonio. I think you'd be crazy not to go in San Antonio.
Yeah.
If he goes there, I'll put him down right now as the team's going to win a championship next year. That's how confident I am of their personnel that exists already with the addition of LaMarcus Aldridge. So, you know, as a matter of fact, had the Clippers not pulled one out on him this year, I think they would have won it this year. So it's I think Masai Ujiri is doing everything he can. He's selling the program. He's selling the city. Sometimes it really doesn't matter what you do. You're just going to run up against a situation like this where you can have the best sell ever. But if you look at it and understand why he's going to go to different places, it's really got nothing to do with you.
Leo, perfect segue to San Antonio. We're talking money now, who gets it and who spends it. Tim Duncan says he's coming back for a 19th season. It's not about the money with him anymore. I would imagine it hasn't been for a long time. Your thoughts on that, 19 years for Tim Duncan?
I think it's great. And honestly, it's like we're saying with Kobe. The difference between a Kobe and a Tim Duncan understands where he's at. He knows that he doesn't have to be a 20-10 guy. You know, he's going to do what it takes for his team to win. He can take a lesser role. He can take less shots. He can take less minutes. It doesn't matter. He'll do what it takes to win. You know, Kobe still wants to play at that Kobe level that, you know, is probably unattainable at this point. So, and the nice thing about being in a place like San Antonio, there's so much respect for the program and the way they do business. And Popovich doesn't burn his guys out, that a guy can kind of ease into the end of his career and still be a positive factor. And, you know, I hate the fact, you know, I remember when Gretzky was at the latter part of his career, and a lot of people start questioning and say, you're not the same, you're this and that. Well, of course you're not the same, but who cares? I'd still rather watch a Gretzky in his old age than some of these young guys playing. And I'd rather watch a Tim Duncan that can do what he does and play with a head and his shoulders and still compete for a championship than some of these younger guys that don't have a clue. So to me, you know, I love seeing guys that understand how to go out to play till they can't play anymore.
Leo, it's interesting. You mentioned the salary cap, and it's going to go up again next year with the TV deal. And, you know, you see LeBron James signing 1 year at a time just so he can get close to the max every year. We did see Davis sign a five-year deal. Do you think we're going to see more players follow suit with LeBron, or are more of them going to want to have that guaranteed five-year deal just in case of injury?
I think we're already seeing both. You know, some players that have tremendous amount of financial security, like LeBron's never going to have a financial concern in his life, and he can max out every year. And, you know, some players are going to do it his way. Other players of close to his star stature, like, you know, say a Kevin Love or, you know, a Carmelo Anthony in New York, players like that have chosen the secure route. And so I think you're going to continue to see both. It just comes down to personal preference, maybe a guy's history of injuries and so forth when they make the decision. So, you know, LeBron's, he's one of those guys that, you know, he's built like a brick house, and I don't think he's too worried about getting hurt or something happening, and he's just going to play it out. And I think he also wants to have some flexibility, or at least if it's not flexibility for himself, I think that when you have that option to go, you're keeping pressure on your ownership, keeping pressure on the Cavaliers to make sure they're bringing in the players and doing what they need to do to keep you in that championship hunt. So that may also be another part of the motivation for players like LeBron.
Leo, always good to talk basketball with you. Enjoy the summer.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks.